Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Sabrina Sutherland, who is a professional 800-meter runner for Oregon Track Club Elite in Eugene, Oregon. And it's so fun because Sabrina and I were actually teammates for a little while at University of Oregon, and we worked out together. We were like tempo buddies, so we work out on Tuesdays together, and it's been so cool to see her doing really well. She just ran a PR in the 800 of 158.82, which is her first time going under 2 minutes, and it's coming at the perfect time. I mean, the Olympic trials are coming up in a couple weeks, so I'm super excited for this episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Get to know Sabrina a little bit more, and now you can root for her at the trials, so stay tuned. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you listen every week and you love it, it helps me out so much. You guys, I know I say this all the time, but it really helps establish credibility for the podcast. So that means I can get more high profile guests on. You know, they see that you guys are loving it and rating and reviewing, and they're like, I'm going to come on a Convos Over Cold Brew and have a conversation with Emma so that you guys get to listen to it, ask some listener questions on our Instagram. So it's, you know, it's a win-win for both of us. It literally takes only 15 seconds. All you have to do is just go on Apple Podcast, rate, review, 15 seconds max. And it just helps me out a ton. It's a free way to support the podcast, and I really appreciate it. Also, if you just spread the word about the podcast to your friends, family, whoever, tell them about the awesome convos we're having on the pod. I appreciate you all for listening every week and supporting me. It means a lot. Today's episode is brought to you by none other than Crazed Foods. It's something that I've been working on for a really long time. You'll probably hear me talking about them in more of these podcasts and see them in my stories on my YouTube channel, because it's really exciting for me. I cannot believe I'm putting out my own products. This is like so wild. The Crazed Foods Bar is a peanut butter coffee bar sweetened with honey, which packs 55 milligrams of caffeine from real coffee. They're super simple, just peanut butter, coffee, honey, whey protein, and natural vanilla. I use them before I train, especially in like the afternoons when I have an afternoon workout, just for like a little pep in my step. And they're a heck of an energy boost, plus convenient when I'm traveling around. We also have a plant-based version, which instead of the whey protein, subs in pea protein. And we also just came out with our protein iced coffee. So it's a type of powder made from whey protein and real coffee and natural flavors. It's so, so good. I throw it in my smoothies almost every single day. And it also has 59 milligrams of caffeine. So it's perfect for post-workouts in the morning. I am so happy that I'm able to put out products that I genuinely love and use on a day-to-day basis. Seriously, I never would have thought that I would be able to create my own food brand and like sell peanut butter coffee products. It's so awesome. And the reviews are coming in on Amazon. So thank you to all who have reviewed so far and purchased. I got to read one of my favorite ones from Madeline. Thank you, Madeline, for writing this review on Amazon. She said, I almost don't want to give these such a positive review because I want them all to myself and I don't want them to sell out. But these, in fact, are so tasty and satisfying. I eat one almost every day and now I can't imagine my life without them. A little dramatic, but true. I've tried eating them as a pre-run and post-run snack, and they've been great every time. The combo of peanut butter and coffee is perfect. 10 out of 10, super yum. We'll be buying these again. Everything is back in stock on Amazon now, and you can pick up a box for yourself in the link attached to this episode or just by going to amazon.com/crazedfoods. Please go try it out. All of the products are so, so good. I use at least one of them every single day, and I hope you guys love them as much as I do. I know a lot of you guys have sent me DMs saying how much you love them, so it seriously makes my day, and being able to create something for you guys that helps fuel your days as much as it helps fuel mine is incredible to me, and I hope you guys try out one of the products or all of them and let me know what you think. Now let's get straight into today's episode. Sabrina, I'm so excited to have you on. My girl, it's been so long. I feel like we haven't like sat down and had a conversation since college.
Literally.
So.
It's been so long and I'm honored. I'm really honored.
Okay. I'm honored that you're going to come on my podcast. Okay. Well, to start off the podcast, do you want to just give us like a little rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Yes. My name is Sabrina Sutherland. I run the 800 meters and I'm running for the Nike Oregon Track Club Elite, training for the trials and hopefully Olympics.
Yes. And you've been on a roll this year, I will say. I just saw you a couple of weeks ago at Portland Track Festival where you ran a PR of 158.82, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big PR for me.
Yeah. That was your first time going sub two, right?
Yeah. It was my first time. Wasn't expecting to skip 159, but I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, how did that feel? Like just, I don't know, because there's so many things going on. You broke two, you hit the Olympic standard, meaning that if you get top three at the trials, you go to the Olympics for sure. Mm-hmm. So how did that race feel?
That race felt really like crazy. Well, my intention was to get the Olympic standard. So the Olympic standard is 159.5. So like, I was like, today's the day I'm going to go get it. Like, I don't care if I come in last, as long as I get that time. So that was pretty much my goal going into that race. So I'm pretty happy with the outcome. So yeah, mission accomplished for that meet. Now the big one's coming up. So
yeah. Well, that must have given you some confidence, you know, going into, and especially like skipping 159, because 159 is already a great time, but 158, that's like seriously world-class caliber.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it. I knew I was in shape. So I knew I definitely could go under two. But 158, that was the icing on the cake.
do you feel a difference when you're running like 2 minutes versus 158? Like when you were running, did you know that you were like, this is going to be super fast?
No, it actually, that's something that came to my mind too. I was like, this hurt just as much as a 203. So
good.
This feels just as bad. So why didn't I just go faster in the past?
Okay, there you go. If anyone runs a 203, just run faster, okay? It feels the same, according to Sabrina. So that's all it takes. Okay, well, I want to like kind of dive into how you got your start in running and everything, because I remember you from high school because you're a really, really good high school runner. But when did you get your start? And I always ask this, but like, were you always good like right away?
No, I did run 203 in high school and I won New Balance Nationals and all. But I went to Georgetown and I was still running like the same times. And I didn't really have a breakthrough until I came to Oregon in my fifth year. So that's when things kind of shifted for me. So
did you feel like, why do you think that you were running the same times at Georgetown as you were in high school? Were you frustrated during that time?
Yeah, it was pretty frustrating because I was still doing all the work. I guess it just didn't really work for me. I guess, I don't know. It works for some people, but I think I just needed a shift and needed to start doing more fast things. But my aerobic capacity was really up there. So I think I did have an advantage when I did come to Oregon because I had done so much mileage.
Yeah. So at Georgetown, were you training as more of a distance runner then compared to like a sprints person?
Yeah. I think it was more like distance, mid-distance, distance rather than like a mix of sprinting. So yeah, it was completely different.
What were you doing in high school? Because obviously like 203 is amazing as a high school athlete, which now looking back, you're probably like, why didn't I just run 158? Come on.
Yeah, now high schoolers are running like sub two now, so it's like that's nothing anymore. But yeah, training in high school was kind of similar to Georgetown, I would think. I was doing a lot of mileage in high school, but we also did some speed stuff. My high school coach was really into like long runs and running for a long time, but also like tempo running too. So I think that was kind of similar.
So then why did you end up choosing Georgetown?
I chose Georgetown because I really liked the team and I really liked Coach Mike, and Georgetown does have a rich history in track and field and cross country. So I thought it would be a good fit for me.
And then did you like your experience there as a whole? Like, I know running wise, maybe you're frustrated, but do you think it was like worthwhile experience, like before coming to Oregon? Would you say that it was a good decision?
Yeah, definitely. I don't regret going there at all. I had a really good experience there. I wouldn't have changed it. And I was grateful enough to be able to still go to Oregon and experience that.
So I am so curious, why did you end up going to Oregon? Because obviously Georgetown is in DC. You're from New York.
Yeah.
So why, obviously track is very good at Oregon, but why did you decide to come? And also, was it what you expected?
Well, yes, track is literally why I came to Oregon. It's much different from the East Coast, to say the least. I came mostly for running. I wanted to commit and just commit everything to running pretty much. And I was also getting my master's degree. So I was able to do both at Oregon. And yeah, it was great.
What was like the main difference training wise compared to like Oregon and Georgetown?
Yeah. Okay. So it was so different. Well, I did cross country with you guys.
Yes. I was so happy when you came. You were literally like, we would work out together on Tuesdays, and you were, I wish you were there for longer, like when I was there, because we had the best time, like doing our little tempo Ks on freestyle.
We had a really good time. No, we had a really good time during cross country. And I loved cross country camp.
Sun River.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, doing that in the fall was pretty similar to what I was doing at Georgetown. But then when I made my shift, when I had to leave you guys, the cross country girls.
Tears down my face. I was genuinely like upset when you left.
I was so sad.
I was like, who am I going to do tempo Ks with now?
That's what I was thinking. And I had to switch groups, and I had to switch to the sprint group. I was like, oh my gosh, what about all my friends? And I was like, oh man, I'm leaving Emma alone.
I know.
But yeah, so when I made that shift in January or late December, the sprint training was entirely new to me. I had never done anything like that in my entire life. Jumping over hurdles. I'm not really coordinated, so doing those things with
Like weight vests on?
Yeah. Jumping over hurdles with weight vests and like drills and like sprinting, literally. It was so foreign to me. So it was really hard.
Yeah. So you went from doing, what were you doing? Like 30 to 40 miles in cross country season? Somewhere around
there?
Yeah. Yeah. And then how many?
30, 40, 50 miles probably. Yeah. 40 to 50.
Yeah. How much, like, because obviously I know some people on the sprint side, like what did your mileage cut down to, like 10 miles a week, or were you still doing like long runs?
Yeah, I would do the sprint training and I would still like run before the sprint workout. So I would do my runs and all. And then I would still do my long run on Sundays. So, but my long run wasn't really that long. It was like 6 miles, but, yeah, I don't know. I was probably doing like no more than 20 miles a week.
Okay, but 6 miles, like you asked Raven Rogers about running 6 miles. She's like, absolutely not. So
like, absolutely not, but yeah.
Were you nervous about that? Because since it was so new and like you only spent 1 year at Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's like a big switch up to like just switch up your training going into indoors, like your last 2 seasons of college. Were you nervous? Yeah. Like, did you have any hesitation, or were you like, I'm just gonna put all my cards on the table, like this is Oregon, I'm just gonna see what happens?
It was kind of a mix. It was kind of like, okay, I'm just gonna do everything I'm supposed to do, but also I was like, Coach Johnson, please, can I go for a run?
I feel like a lot of like the 800 runners were always like begging Johnson to go for runs. Like, please, please, please. I need to at least do like 3 miles today.
Let me just do a 20-minute run.
Yeah. I mean, like what would you say helped you from that training?
I think it helped me a lot. I think it really helped me with my fast twitch and just mechanics, working with Coach Rad, and literally training with the 400 girls and all the other sprinters, I feel like it really helped me in my speed, even though I was being dragged along. It still helped me in the 800.
Yeah. Would you say that you're more, like, nowadays, would you say that you're more of a 4.8 or an 8.15?
Yeah, I think nowadays, I don't know. I really don't know. I think I'm not that great in the blocks. So I don't even know if I can be considered 400.
Yeah.
But I haven't really ran the 15 since I've been here. I did run it one time when I was at Oregon. And I think I ran 4:15. So I don't know. People run under 4 minutes nowadays. So
okay, but 4:15, like, especially back then a couple years ago, I feel like I was pretty good. Maybe I'm just biased because, like, my best time was 4:18. I was like, I was good, right? I'm just trying to still make myself sound good.
Yeah, no, we're good. We're really good.
Okay, well, you just ran 1:58. Well, you ended up going on to win NCAA indoors that year in the 800. Were you expecting that at all? Obviously, like, at Georgetown running 203, you probably were, like, a little frustrated with the lack of growth from high school, but then you just,
yeah,
I mean, I just remember watching and being like, oh my gosh, Sav just won indoors. Like, that's wild. Yeah. What were your thoughts?
It was kind of crazy. Cause when I was at Georgetown, I always made it to NCAAs, but I never made it to the final, in the 800 at least. And, I was kind of alarmed going into it because I was the last one into the meet. You know how they take 14 people? I was number 14 going into it. So, once I finished the prelims, I think we ran like 203 in that. And I was like, oh, that felt pretty easy. And then when it came to the final, I was like, well, I'm actually feeling pretty good. So,
wait, go ahead.
Yeah, I just remember Coach Johnson being like, well, if you can run 28 in the last 200, then you can win this race. And that's what I did. I don't think it was 28, but I attempted to do that.
It was close enough. But okay, how do you have the confidence? Like, you ranked 14th going in. How do you have the confidence to win? Because I feel like that's just a huge jump, you know? And it's hard to get in that mindset of, like, when you're the person that just, you barely made it to the meet.
Yeah.
And now you're like, oh, I'm gonna win, you know?
Yeah. It was pretty difficult. I feel like running the prelim actually gave me more confidence, but I knew that I was in better shape than what I had run, since I had only run one race before that meet. So I knew I was better than that.
And I'm sure, I mean, with Johnson telling you, Johnson was our head coach, or is the head coach at Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm sure him believing in you and him literally telling you, if you run 28, you can win this, probably gave you confidence. Cause I think people overlook a coach's belief in them, you know, at that point.
Yeah.
Like, if a coach tells you you can win, I think that instills a lot of confidence in you on the starting line.
Yeah, definitely. He had a lot of confidence in what I could do. So having that support was really beneficial to my running.
How was, like, your Oregon experience overall? Did you enjoy it? Did you go out the way you wanted to, or how did you leave Oregon?
I loved it. I definitely loved it there. I met all of you guys, which was great. And
that was the highlight. Meeting me actually was the highlight.
Meeting Emma was the highlight of my Oregon experience. I was happy. I ran 2 minutes there. I really did everything I came to Oregon to do. So I was grateful for that opportunity.
So you graduated, and then did you already know you're like, I'm gonna go pro for sure? Or did you have any hesitations at all?
Yeah, no, that was my goal, to run fast and go pro. So that was my main intention. So Coach Johnson helped me with all of that afterward.
What other groups were you looking at? Or was it just you were looking for contracts? Because like groups, I mean, I feel like more groups are popping up now, but
yeah,
especially 800 meter specific ones where it's like, there's only a couple, you know?
Yeah, I was looking at Brooks and I looked here and where else did I look? I was just looking around at all different kinds of groups I can join. Because it wasn't as, there weren't as many groups as there are now. So it was kind of hard, like coming out of college, it's kind of hard to figure all of these things out alone. So I'm happy I had people around me that I can like take advice from and all.
Were you excited to stay in Eugene?
Well, I was actually finishing my master's program because it was a 2-year program and I had finished 1 year when I was at Oregon with you guys. So it kind of worked out that way. I was able to complete my degree and still run.
Well, that, I mean, that's nice.
Yeah.
That kind of sucks though, because then you were still going to class and you're like a pro athlete, but you still, like everyone, no one else is even in school anymore because everyone has graduated. Yeah. You're like, still got to go on campus. You see people that like, you were like on the team with last year, you're like, hey.
I'm like, hi.
How are you doing?
Yeah, literally. Exactly. It was kind of weird because like no one here has been to school in years. So I was the only one like going to class and then like rushing to practice, and then we was just like, what is she doing?
Yeah. So how has pro running been for you since then? Because like obviously then you guys were training on Hayward, but that got demolished at a certain point.
Yeah.
Well, you were on South Eugene probably. Amazon. I see a lot of Amazon workouts coming from you guys.
Yes, all the time. Literally after my NCAA race, they demolished the track. So I've never been back since. But we've been training at South Eugene, Hamlin, and Priest Trail. So that's pretty much where we get our workouts done. And we haven't been to Hayward yet. So the trials will be the first time.
Whoa! And wait, will you guys be able to train on it eventually? Because I was talking to Tom Farrell the other day very briefly at Portland Track Festival, and he was saying that like because of COVID no one was really on the track other than the team.
Yeah, exactly, because of coronavirus we haven't been able to like train at the university, so it makes sense. The university has their own regulation, so we just can't.
Yeah. I just can't believe that you're doing all your workouts on South Eugene. You're building, no wonder you run 158. You're building your mental strength.
Building that strength. We even lift from our garage.
Wow. Okay.
Because we can't go to campus to lift.
Good. Well, hopefully, I mean, eventually, you know, things will be lifted and you'll be able to train at like the new beautiful Hayward Field with very much upgraded locker rooms and weight rooms and whatever.
I took the tour. It was amazing.
Yeah. What are you most excited for? Like the nap pods in there?
I saw the nap pods. That was great. But even when we had them at the cast, I didn't use them. So.
Yeah. I actually don't even know where they were located in that building.
They were located near that boxing ring.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Man. Why is there a boxing ring? I don't know.
Yeah, actually. It was like very front and center in one of our buildings. Just a big boxing ring. Never saw one person in there, but sure. That's so funny. Today's episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is a fitness wearable that provides 24/7 personalized insights around your sleep, recovery, and daily activities. So whether you're running your first 5K or your 10th marathon, Whoop can help you train smarter and recover faster so you get to the start line healthy. I've been wearing Whoop for the past couple months and it has been so helpful in really holding me accountable to especially my sleep. The sleep coach provides you with personalized sleep recommendations based on your previous night's sleep and how active you were over the course of the day. So moving to New York City, one of my biggest goals has been get better sleep because over the past couple months, my sleep has been so awful. I swear I've been getting like 5 hours a night, and I know when I don't get enough sleep, I get sick. And also I'm definitely not recovering from my workouts as fast as I should. So sleep is a huge priority for me, and Whoop helps me keep track of it and also holds me accountable to get enough sleep so that I recover well so I can be ready for my workout the next day or even in a couple days. The app also has built-in features like the strain coach so you can see how hard you're pushing your body every day and set goals based on your body's recovery. So say you had a really, really hard day yesterday and it was just a really big strain on your body, Whoop will probably tell you the next day that you should take it easy that day and gives you a strain score that you should shoot for optimal recovery. It's super cool, and if you're a data-focused person, Whoop is the best because it really just helps you see through data how your body's recovering and what it adapts best to, and it's a really good way to hold yourself accountable to get the recovery in you need to stay injury-free and just feel your best when it comes to training. So Whoop is offering 15% off with the code COLDBREW at checkout. So go to Whoop, that's WHOOP.com, and enter code COLDBREW at checkout to save 15%. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to the start line healthy with Whoop. Well, how has like training been since college, and what's the difference between college training and training now as a pro?
Yeah, the difference, things feel like, I don't know. I guess the workouts are more speed endurance nowadays. We do a lot of speed endurance and a lot of tempo stuff. Now we're like sprinting. So it's just a mix of everything. So I think that's the difference, not just like just sprinting or just tempo or just long running kind of thing.
Yeah. How has, like, cause I feel like I haven't really seen you race until this year. Were you racing after like 2018, or what is like the progression been like for you?
Yeah. Well, after I left Oregon, my first year here with the group, I had a stress fracture. So that year I was in a boot, and I did end up racing, but really poorly because I was not healed yet. And then my second year, which was last year, I had a ruptured Achilles.
Oh, ouch. So good.
But I still competed. I still competed with the Achilles tear thing in the little big friendly meets. We had the big friendly meets, a couple of those.
Yeah.
So, I did those races, but after the season was done, I got, finally got a PRP injection, and then I was in a boot for a month or two. I didn't get my...
feeling good.
Great. So now that I have 2 feet and 2 legs at work, things are going well.
Okay, wait, where did you get a stress fracture? What part of your body?
My shin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ow, first of all, I've never had a stress injury. Like, what did it come from? You just think overtraining?
Yeah, I think just the switch up of training, just going from what I was doing at Oregon to like building up volume maybe too fast. I think maybe just too much from what I was doing. It could have been more gradual. Yeah.
So you were in a boot and then you recovered and then the Achilles stuff started happening?
Yeah, the Achilles stuff started happening in March 2020. Yeah.
I mean, I guess
around when coronavirus started hitting the US.
I guess that's not the worst time, but it's never a good time for your Achilles to rupture. But you know, no races were happening. But okay,
I'm just curious. In the big friendlies.
Yeah. So I've had like Achilles problems in the past, and you know, it like hurts every single step that you take. Like I couldn't even run on it, so I'm confused as to how you were racing 800s on it. Like, so it fully ruptured. At some point?
Yeah, it was a tear that was like, I don't even know how that happened, but I guess because I was just pushing on it because it was a tear.
Yeah. So it was hurting. And then when did you like, did it rupture during practice or was like during a race or?
No, I didn't even know until I knew it was hurting, but I didn't even know like to what extent the injury was until I was done with the season. So that's when I went to go, like I had planned to get my PRP injection or any injection that I needed to get for the healing process, but I held out until after the season was done. That was the plan. But then when I got to the when I got to the doctor, he was like, "Whoa, I didn't know it was this bad." I was like, "Oh, great."
So what do they have to do? They just put a needle in you and then you were good, or what?
Yeah, I thought I would just need the needle and then I'd be good, but it turned out I needed the injection and then I needed to be in a boot and I couldn't do any exercising for I think it was like 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah.
So then when were you like fully healed from that and you were starting to train again?
Like late November.
Yeah. Oh, that's like recent kind of. So
kind of, not really. Well, but yeah.
Were you like scared? Okay, especially like last year in 2020 when you thought that the Olympic trials were happening in
that June. Was scary.
Yeah,
that was more scary to me actually. So I guess it kind of worked out in my favor because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in pain and the trials are coming up. So that actually was an advantage for me. Not saying that I'm happy that COVID happened, but
just timeline. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no. Was good in that sense. But okay, so you're healed in November and you just felt like you were just confident and you were like, I'm going to get back in shape and be ready by June.
Yeah, I was pretty much, I was doing like short runs in November. So it was just starting to like get into it and start training and doing actual like mile repeats and stuff. So I just kept going and progressed from there.
When did you feel like you were in like good shape again? Like you were ready to rip a good 800?
Yeah. Surprisingly, I felt good once my foot was healed. Like once I was out of the boot and I took my first run on the track, like for 2 laps, I felt great.
I'm going to run 158 right now, actually.
I just felt really good. I don't know if it was because I felt normal again, not having an injury, or like, I didn't think I was in shape, but I did feel good just moving.
Yeah, I think that's sweet relief that you feel after coming off, especially like if you're racing on months and months of pain in your Achilles. To run 2 laps and not have it hurt, I probably would just shed tears of joy at that point.
Yeah, it was like, I was so happy. So the workouts felt easier. It didn't feel like I was like going to cry.
That's good.
Yeah.
So now we've got the Olympic trials coming in hot. It's just in a couple weeks, actually. What is it, like 2 weeks now? Look at my calendar.
Yeah.
Wow.
So crazy. So soon.
What does life look like for you over these next 2 weeks as someone who like genuinely has the chance to make the team? Like what are you focusing on over the next 2 weeks?
Well, just pretty much maintaining and just staying sharp because all the work has already been put in place. Like now it's just maintaining and just staying, literally just staying sharp for the race. There's nothing more we can do really at this point. Just staying here and doing what we do.
So what does like a day in the life look like for you at this moment in time?
At this moment in time, nothing much has changed. Just Monday, Wednesday lift, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday workouts, Sunday long run. And that's pretty much it.
What's your biggest like recovery tool, would you say? Like what is your like go-to day-to-day? What is something that you do that makes you feel good?
I think my recovery tool, I really like using my Normatec. But I also what do I like? Physical therapy, definitely. I do my exercises with PT Dan.
That's awesome. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that you guys worked with him. He's our PT at Oregon. He's great.
Yeah, he's awesome. Just the same, pretty much the same stuff. Yeah. Normatec probably is my favorite.
Yeah, that's a lot of people's favorite because I think it's just laying there.
on yeah, exactly. Phone. I could just like, literally, it's the easiest recovery I could do.
Yeah, it's like foam roller, too much ever. That's like a third workout. Like, oh,
moving my body. Yeah, moving my body in pain. No.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. How many rounds of the 800 do you have at the trials?
Three prelims, semis, and then the final.
Okay. Are you ready to? Do you feel ready to run three rounds? And how many days do you have in between?
So it's back to back, pretty much for the prelim and the semi, but we have a couple of days before the final.
Okay. How many girls right now have the Olympic standard?
Oh.
You know?
I don't even know, but I feel like a lot of people have hit it. Even the 1500 girls have been killing it too. So they'll probably enter in the 8 as well.
give you a little bit more run for your money. Yeah. Add them to the pot. Sure.
Yeah. Just add them all in. So
what is it going to take for you to make the team? Do you think?
I don't know. It can really go any way. I could see any scenario. Basically, could either go out fast or slow and then kick at the end, you know? So just never know. Depends on how everyone's feeling that day.
Yeah. I feel like the 800 is a lot about being adaptable. That and the 15. It's like, you just need to adapt to if it's going to go out slow, fast. I mean, you can say that for every race though, but like, it's so quick that it's like, you don't really have time to think. So it's like, if it was in a 5K, it's like, even if it does go out slow, like you have time to think about it and you can like process it and everything. But in the 8 and the 15, I mean, I'm biased because I ran the 15, but like, no, you just don't have time to think. You're not thinking, you're just doing, and you can't think too much about it and you have no time to process. You just are thrown at it and you have to go with it without even deciding anything. Do you prefer one way or the other? Like, do you prefer to go out harder or slower or even split?
I don't know if I have a preference. I just know that if it goes out a certain way, I'm going to have to stay strong and just go with it. So, I don't have a preference. You really can't in this race. You have to be prepared for anything.
So you've already run 158. Like, what is your, I'm sure you had a time goal, which was the 159.5 or whatever, for the Olympic standard. But what is your time goal now? Would you say that you have one, or is it now just all about placing?
Yeah, for me right now, it's just all about placing. I don't really have a time goal anymore. It's just top three. That's my goal.
If you say you had to go out and like run a time trial right now, you have pacers and everything. Like, how fast do you think that you could run in like a perfect setup?
Oh, shoot. Huh. I don't even know. I feel like I can go 157.
Yeah. Because I mean, now it's like, it's hard to get those perfect conditions. It's like, no one's racing for those times really anymore. So
I feel like I can definitely hit that, since I ran 158 last week and kind of lane two. So maybe if I'm not in lane two, I'll run faster.
Yeah. So what are the goals? Obviously make the team. Do you have anything else beyond that or anything, I guess, like process wise over the next couple of weeks that you want to work on?
Yeah, I just want to, that's my main goal, making the team, just getting through the rounds. And that's pretty much my focus right now. I know I'll have other goals, but I like to set them as I go.
What's like the process of going through the rounds? Because obviously you've been through it with like prelims and finals in college and stuff. Is there like a mindset that you have? Because for me, like in college, I really struggled with that. Like going with finishing one race, like I would finish the prelim and just be like so happy that I made it to the final, you know? And I would be like a little too content with that, like making it to the final.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like how do you deal with that?
It's kind of like, that's a really good question. I feel like it's kind of like checking off the boxes. Like, I don't want to be happy with just making it to the final, because the final is the race. So I don't want to just be happy to be there. It's like, no, I am on a mission to get top three.
Yeah. I think it's so just setting that goal like far in advance and just like having it ingrained into you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like a mindset of elite athletes that have that. I guess I wasn't elite enough to have
it. You no, had it.
Definitely. I mean, it's true though. It's just like, I would go into it just being very content and like not having that desire to, you know, place top three or whatever, or do well in the final. You know, I was just happy to be there. And that's been my whole life. And I find it really admirable for people like you, or people that are at that top level that are just have that like determination and goal. And they can just, you see people, you know, after prelims, they run the prelim and they make it look easy and they just walk off without even like thinking about it. And I just really admire those people, because I'm like, if only I could have that mindset of just like racing the prelim, like it was just, you know, like you said, checking it off and being like, okay, time to get ready for the big one, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's really cool to see people be able to do that.
I honestly think that's not a bad thing, because I find it difficult to find that balance of like, okay, I've done this, now moving on to the next thing, instead of like celebrating the smaller things, like I made it here.
Yeah.
So I think that's not such so much of a bad thing, because that's something I would like to have, in a sense, not entirely, because I still have the check boxes.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's good to have both.
Yeah. Because you do want, you need to celebrate. You need to celebrate the little things, like you said. Like, you have to celebrate qualifying in the final, but not too much.
Exactly.
You can't get content. Because you don't want to show up on the starting line of the final being like, I'm just happy to be here, you know? You need to check that box of getting top three. So
exactly. There needs to be a nice balance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure like so many people are excited to watch you at the trials. I know I am. You just had like such a good year. And I know you're such a good person too. So I just love seeing people that I know doing so well. And I'm like obviously rooting for them. And I'm hoping like people that are listening to this podcast, you know, they're either going to be at the trials or they're going to be at home being like, I know her, you know, that's Sabrina. And we're going to root for her.
For Emma's podcast.
Okay. No, they won't know me. They won't know you for that, but they'll know you for getting top three. We're manifesting it out here. But so the next part of the episode, you had a lot of listener questions, because I'm sure everyone wants to know things about the 800 meter expert. So we can just go through them. The first one, what is your favorite thing about the 800?
Ooh, my favorite thing. I think that I like it because it's not too long, but I think that it's a really big challenge for me, and I just love the competition and having to stick with it with 400, 500 to go. Just, I don't know how to explain how I love it. It's kind of a love-hate relationship, pretty much.
I don't understand 800 meter runners. You guys are crazy, because that race is so hard.
Kind of crazy. You have to be a little bit crazy to run this event. So I guess you can call me crazy. But my favorite thing is probably just competing and being, everyone is in a pack. It's not like all stretched out, and not saying that it's boring if it's stretched out, but it just keeps you checked into the race. There are people around.
No time to think. No time to think.
No time to think. That's why I like it.
Okay. What do you think is the best 800 meter race strategy?
I don't think there is a best 800 meter race strategy. It just depends on the person and like who else is in it and how it's going. It's like sometimes race plans just have to be thrown out the window when things aren't going the way that you expect them to go. So I don't know if there's a perfect strategy.
Are you the type of person, do you like positive splitting? Do you like negative split? I feel like most 800s are positive split.
Yeah, I think most of them go out fast and everyone dies a little bit in the second lap. That's usually how it goes. That's usually how it goes, but yeah.
Yeah. Next one. What do you think about when... I'm a mess over here. I literally have this written down on like a little flimsy notepad.
You're like, no, not this one.
No, not that one. That terrible question. Whoever asked that, just kidding. Also, I'm dripping sweat in my mouth right now. It's kind of distracting.
Is there no air conditioning there?
I should have turned it on. I'm so sweaty. It's like 95 degrees here. No one cares. What do you think about when you're racing or working out?
When I'm working out, I'm thinking, okay, I try to break it down like just this rep or just this 100. just focus on one specific thing, or if I focus on just remember to lift and whip, as Coach Rad would tell us. Just remember to lift your legs.
Doing those little 80 meter stride thingies at the end. Coach Rad is our lifting coach, and he's your lifting coach too, right?
Yeah.
For OTC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so crazy to think that like Coach Rad is still your lifting coach. That's wild. Lift and whip.
Lift and whip. So I'll just think of that, either that or something I want to focus on. Just finishing this rep. Or if there's something specific I'm working on, like keeping my hips lifted, I'll try to tune into that. So yeah, those are kind of the things I'll focus on during a rep or a workout, or a race.
So the last 100 meters of a race, everyone is feel like going out the back. What are you thinking about? You see the finish line in sight 100 meters away, which isn't really that close. What is going through your head at that moment?
It depends on the day. Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, 100 meters is so long. Other days it's like, just keep your form. Mostly it's just like, just keep your form and things will align themselves. So mostly just lifting and whipping.
Coach Rad would be proud. Shout out Coach Rad if you're listening, and I know you're not. Okay. Ask her about her signature photo pose. That's from Jake Willard.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay. Little duck face and peace sign for those listening.
Yeah. That's my signature pose.
Okay.
Run J Will. Yeah.
Run J Will. Shout out. He actually might be listening. So shout out Jake Willard.
Shout out to Run J Will.
Okay. Chanel Price asks, how much do you love Chanel Price?
Wow. Okay. A lot.
Very much.
You know, she actually told me she submitted a question to you, so I was waiting to see what kind of ridiculousness she would send in.
Yes,
Chanel, I love you very much, and I know you can hear me out there.
Oh, do you live with her?
Yeah, okay. I do.
She probably, like, if she's listening, she'll be happy. If not, she'll still be happy because she's listening right now. So. What has been your biggest breakthrough in life/running/both?
Wow. Life and running. Well, I think honestly, moving to the West Coast was a big deal for me. I'm such an East Coast city girl. So coming to Eugene, Oregon was like a real, I don't know, a real shock to me.
A real experience. So,
yeah, that was a real experience. So kind of adapting to a different lifestyle was probably the biggest thing for me.
Is it just like more slow moving, or is it like the people? What's the biggest difference?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is like the slow pace. Like I'm used to everything being like, everybody, let's hurry up. We need to get there, even though there's nothing really important to accomplish. And then here it's just like, oh, let's just take our time. Like there's no rush. There's no reason to go fast in life. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me. I'll be in the car driving and like, oh my gosh, please let's hurry up and I'll make this light. And everyone's just driving 10 miles per hour.
Okay, Oregon is the worst at that. Like California at least is better. I mean, okay, drivers aren't better there because everyone's wild, but like Oregon, people are going 40 miles per hour and a 50 and everyone stops when the light is yellow. And I'm like, let's get a move on people.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's nothing at like the finish line. You know, I don't need to be here. Like what? No, I need to get home so I can sit on my couch. Like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like driving here for me is just too much. I can't.
No, it is wild because I just moved to New York and I just love how fast paced it is. Like no one even cares. Yeah. Like I went to go get a massage the other day and then the person's like, Emma. And then they walk me to a room. I didn't even see the masseuse. I was down on the table. She massaged me, then left the room. And then I was out in like, my massage was 60 minutes long. And I think I was out of there in 61 minutes. So it's like, it was so fast paced. They waste no time.
No time. No time is wasted in New York. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a little bit of a tangent.
Oh, also, I had to get my driver's license when I moved to Oregon, so I didn't actually drive until I got here.
Oh, That's so crazy to think about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sorry to you because you had to go deal with all the slow drivers.
Yeah.
No offense to Oregon people that drive slow.
No, I love you, Eugene, Oregon people, but please, the speed limit is 25.
Yeah, please, let's go 25, not 20. Okay, someone, I think they took this from one of my YouTube videos back in 2017, because I kind of remember this. Someone said, what's your Starbucks order? Is it still soy caramel macchiato with extra caramel drizzle with cinnamon?
I remember that. Oh my gosh, how did they know?
I don't know. Yes. I was like, I barely remember that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, that's still my order, but lately my order has been a warm grande chai tea latte, no water, 6 pumps chai, and soy milk. So that's what I'm on right now.
Okay, well, we got a little update.
That's my update. But if I get the caramel macchiato, I'm still getting the soy, extra caramel drizzle and all. Yes.
So funny. I saw the little question thing that the person submitted. I was like, that sounds so familiar.
Specific.
That's so specific, yeah, and that sounds a little familiar. Like, I'm trying, and I like just have this vision in my mind.
I definitely said that in your vlog.
That's so funny. Wow. Someone really remembers that.
I hope that they tried that order too, because that's a great drink. Yeah.
Well, maybe they did, and that's why they remembered it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, update. Soy chai, no water, 6 pumps chai. And if it's iced, no ice, ice on the side. Still 6 pumps chai.
Whoa, okay. Mm-hmm. Got to get that bang for your buck.
Exactly.
Okay, the last question I have for you is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
Yes, I do, actually. I think that I would tell my younger self to be more patient and worry less, because things will definitely align as long as you keep working and persevering.
I think you're the true definition of that. I mean, coming off of rupturing Achilles, stress fractures, plateauing maybe a little bit at Georgetown, and now you're running 158 and you're vying for an Olympic spot. I think a lot of people can probably agree with the perseverance factor of that. So.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's like a really hard thing to do, stay patient. So that's one thing I would tell my younger self, just keep staying patient and keep working.
Awesome. Well, where can people follow you at? Because now we got a big couple weeks coming up. Where can they check out your stuff or results or anything that you post?
Like my Instagram, I pretty much update people on what's going on. Sabrina Jem, J-E-M. And my Twitter, which I barely use, is Sabrina with an extra A at the end, J-E-M.
Awesome. And you also run for Oregon Track Club, which I'm sure like people, the social media is on fire there. So there's always results being
Definitely given. The Oregon Track Club Elite Instagram, they update everything that we do here in our group. So that would probably be the best place to find out.
Awesome. Well, you already know I'm rooting for you, and I'm sure everyone listening is. So good luck these next couple weeks, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. I'm honored.
To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. I absolutely love Sabrina. She literally, I'm not even kidding, she was probably one of my favorite people to work out with at Oregon, even though we were only on the team for a short amount of time. She's just so humble and so kind and really funny too. So I hope you guys are rooting for her at the trials, because I know I will be. Whether you're in person or, you know, just at your TV, please root for Sabrina, because she's the best, and it'll be fun to see how she does. So don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. Share with your friends. Follow our Instagram at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes, or submit listener questions to our guests. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.